I do think, though, as time has gone on, that the general population has seen that there are different sectors to the LGBT community, and that those sectors have specific needs and things that we can do to help them. So I think that the people are seeing that it's a more complex community than it was originally anticipated.
And the survey sort of bears that out. Neil, were you surprised by the survey results that showed this wide view of what's important to gay people, lesbian people, straight allies?
Not necessarily by the results themselves, but in preparation to put the survey together, it was very eye-opening to the complexities that are there that, you know, not being privy to the community, you don't really have an awareness of them.
So neither of you were really surprised by the results that showed what gay men prioritize as important topics is different than what lesbians prioritize, which is different than what the transgendered community prioritized.
Right. I mean, there are some common threads. I mean, we mentioned before that marriage equality was an issue that was high on everybody's list of great interest to all areas of the community.
You asked respondents to self-identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or trans, queer, questioning, or a straight ally. Can either of you talk a little bit about why you think mental health support rates high among those identifying as trans, queer, questioning, and straight ally, but doesn't even really show up for gay or lesbian people?
Well, I think that that sort of speaks to a general trend in our society. I mean, I think that the people are becoming a little more comfortable with issues that surround gay and lesbian, the gay and lesbian communities. There's a better understanding. People are more apt to know someone who's gay or lesbian now than ever before because we're more open. Some of the other areas, some of the other groups, the transgender group and specifically, is still an area that there are a lot of unknowns among the general community. They want more information, but I think that they don't feel like they have as great a knowledge base about that community.
Is it fair to say that perhaps the transgendered community, queer questioning transgender community, is struggling a little bit with their place in society and in the gay community, and that's why that, you know, counseling services and mental health services rated higher?
I think so. I mean, especially in a community of our size, I mean, compared to a large metropolitan area like Chicago, you're going to find those groups feeling a greater level of comfort. Whereas here in a smaller community, I know many transgender people here in Bloomington Normal who are still not, who still don't feel safe truly being their authentic selves. So I think that that is an issue.
Neil?
And that did come up in our analysis as well. And I think what we discussed was the gay, lesbian, bisexual, that's more about your sexuality and who you're attracted to, whereas the transgender is a little bit different category where that's more about their self-identity and who they perceive themselves as.
And the same scenario exists for gay marriage. We mentioned this, rating higher among gays and lesbians as a priority, but not as high in the other groups. When was this survey done, and could that have had an effect on how gay marriage rated? And Neil, I'll go to you for that answer.
Yeah, so the survey was conducted about a month prior to the Supreme Court ruling, so that was very heavy in the media at that time, and that could have had some influence on those results.
And then, Dave, what sort of work really exists for the PPC in this area now that it sort of seems to be moving into a non-issue sort of area?
Right. I think it's caused us to sort of readjust our mission and the work that we do. You know, I think marriage equality is still an issue to some extent. I mean, you know, we hear about the county clerks throughout the country who are objecting to issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And so I think that there are going to be smaller issues that arise through the marriage equality issue. So I don't think it'll completely go away. But at the same time, I think that the Supreme Court ruling has enabled us to increase our focus on some other areas that people obviously are looking for us to work on.
It's interesting that issues are moving so quickly that a survey that is less than a year old is already dated in some respects.
It's
still lots of good information in the survey, but the marriage equality part of that is...
Right. Yeah, I mean, almost everybody I've talked to is amazed at how fast the marriage equality issue has progressed.
That's David Bentlin, board president for the Prairie Pride Coalition. Neil Alcorn worked on a multicultural leadership program team to develop and execute the LGBT needs assessment survey. Neil, can you talk a little bit about the survey and the difference between the top areas of importance and the perceived level of support for areas of importance?
So that was pretty interesting to us as a project team, that there were certain things that people felt like were very important, but then they didn't feel like there was a lot of support for it. But as we discussed them after, there were certain things that they weren't aware of. So that was kind of a head scratcher in that there is support out there for it, but you haven't looked for it, so you're not aware of it, so you think it's a big need. It was kind of this weird, you know, paradox that came out through the survey.
And Neil, what did you learn about the propensity of those surveyed to volunteer in some capacity?
That was my favorite thing of the entire survey. We asked the questions what their current volunteer status was, how often, and then we asked them how much they'd like to volunteer. And almost all of them wanted to volunteer more than what they were currently doing. And that was across the board, across all age demographics.
And then, Dave, what is the Prairie Pride Coalition doing to try to harness some of that volunteer power?
That's the key. That's the key. After we received the information, it was incumbent upon us to start working on this. What we're trying to do and what we've done to some level is we've created a committee structure where we can offer opportunities for these folks who have responded to the survey to become more involved in the Prairie Pride Coalition and in the events that we put on each year. So I think that that's sort of a first step in increasing the involvement of the local community in Prairie Pride Coalition and getting them involved really in all of the LGBT organizations in Bloomington Normal, because we work with all of them and we want to make sure that, you know, the people who are looking for opportunities are not just checking out PPC but are also checking out, you know, PFLAG and some of the other groups in town.
Rating high as a priority is support for LGBT youth. You've had these survey results since around January. What is the Prairie Pride Coalition working on to support youth, and what does that support look like?
I'm glad you asked this. We have done, our major effort in this area has been to work with the ISU School of Social Work. There are a couple of students through the social work office who are conducting some best practices research to see what other communities of similar size to Bloomington Normal, what organizations in those communities have done to help combat the LGBT youth homelessness issue. We've come to find out in the last couple of years that the number of homeless youth, there are a great number of LGBT homeless youth, and it's not in proportion to the percentage of LGBT youth in society. So that tells us that that's an area that we need to work on. And we've heard incidental information here and there about this being a problem in Bloomington Normal. So that's one area concerning the LGBT youth that we've really focused on so far.
So you're trying to get at whether there really is a problem in Bloomington Normal with LGBT homeless youth.
Right.
And then what to do if you do find a need that needs to be addressed.
Yes, yes. And, you know, reaching out to the ISU School of Social Work is a first step. We've also been in contact with Project Oz to see if they could give us an idea of the level of problem that this is. So we're making those outreaches. And again, what we're trying to do is get more people involved instead of just doing the work ourselves. And that's the case with social work and also with working with Project Oz.
More volunteers, mm-hmm. as we talked. What about other high priorities, and do those priorities, or could those priorities intersect? For instance, could support for LGBT youth take the form of social events?
I think so. I think so. The need for social programs and social activities in Bloomington Normal was one of the higher ranking priorities that came from the community assessment survey results, and we've been trying to work on those. Now we haven't done as much with the LGBT youth yet. We have made some outreaches to the gay straight alliances at the local high schools and junior high, so we've started that process. And I think that what we've done so far is just kind of reminded them that we're here and that we want to try to work on this issue, because we have come across the results of the survey that show that support for LGBT youth is a priority.
I'm good friends with a gay man who was considering leaving the community for a few factors, but rating high was the fact that he was lonely and the prospects for dating seemed slim. I think that's turned around a little bit for him, but is this something you and the PPC hears often?
It is. And I think I'm just going to speak personally here rather than as a representative of PPC, but I think that our visibility is a major obstacle that we have to overcome. I think that there are so many people, despite the fact that we are a community of, 130,000 now, there are so many people that feel isolated and that they feel like there's no LGBT community here. You know, there are certain little pockets here and there, but I think if we can, as an organization, can bring all of those pockets together and publicize them and get the word out about them, I think that people will begin to realize that there's more of a network here than they may have known about.
Is Bloomington Normal ready for a gay pride parade?
Well,
that would certainly increase your visibility.
It certainly would. We did have someone come to us. We had a board meeting last week, and he came to us with the idea for a Pride Festival. What's happening is in Central Illinois, a lot of the similar-sized communities to Bloomington Normal, like Peoria and Champaign-Urbana and Springfield, are having Pride Festivals every year. And we had one, we had several probably about 25 years ago. They were very small scale. And so we're thinking about things like that because I think the people are in our community increasingly do want to see those things. They don't want to go to Chicago. They don't want to go to Peoria or Springfield to attend a Pride Festival.
Neil, what do you think of the results showing hate crimes and violence ranked lower than other concerns in the community?
You know, we asked a lot of questions around the climate of acceptance in Bloomington Normal, and those rated very high. So I think the fact that the climate of acceptance is high, it correlates very closely with the amount of hate crimes that they're seeing.
And David, how do you interpret those results?
Somewhat the same way. I mean, I think a term that I hear quite often from people is that this is a kind of a benign heteronormative society in Bloomington Normal. People don't actually feel, you know, the majority of people that we've heard from really don't feel like they're in danger when they walk down the street. Now, I will say that, you know, if they ramp it up a little bit, for instance, I heard this past summer about a gay couple, male couple, who was walking down the street in downtown Bloomington holding hands, and they received a great deal of harassment. So I think that as a society, as our LGBT community becomes more open, that those are issues that are going to percolate a little more.
And that's where I was headed with this, was as the PPC works to boost visibility and you have more social events and the gay community becomes more visible in the community, could that work against the low incidence of hate crimes in the community? I mean, could they work hand in hand where as you become more visible, you then see more hate crimes because people say, oh, well, you know, gay people are in this community.
Right. It could go either way, to be honest with you. I mean, it could bring those issues to the forefront and bring the opposition out. You know, they may feel threatened by seeing more LGBT activities going on in the community, and they may have that greater awareness of there being an LGBT presence in Bloomington Normal might make them a little uneasy. At the same time, I think that having more of those types of activities and being more openly gay in Bloomington Normal will possibly allay some fears that people have. You know, I think there's still a lot of misconceptions about the LGBT community, and if they see us as a part of the fabric of the community, I really think that that will allay a lot of fears, and in the long run, I think that that'll make this a better place for all of us.
So if you're going to be part of the fabric of the community, is it best to have a separate Pride festival or work with existing festivals and become part of those?
I think both are important. You know, being such a small minority, I think that there is a great deal of value in having something like a Pride Festival. We have a Pride picnic every summer, and we get a lot of positive feedback from those types of events because people are still at the stage where they want to feel a sense of community, and they want to feel not just a sense of Bloomington Normal community, but a sense of Bloomington Normal LGBT community, and that's where those activities come in good.
Some of what you might want to do to address the concerns in this survey could cost money. What does the survey say, or what did you glean from the survey as it concerns the need for the PPC to do more fundraising?
That's a good question. That's something that we have been very deficient in, I'll be honest with you. We do a lot of things throughout the year, but we very rarely ask for money. And that's a mindset that we need to overcome, and we need to embrace the fact that we're a not-for-profit organization, and that like all the other not-for-profit organizations, we need money to operate our programs.
And donations would be tax-deductible to your nonprofit organization.
Yes. And we just, this fall, we just started accepting online donations through our website. That was a kind of a first big step for us. But we do have, we're in the process of putting together a fundraising committee, because we know that there are a lot of people out there who want to donate. That's a way for people to be involved as well. I mean, there are some people who may not feel comfortable coming to a Pride picnic, but they support the idea of it, and they'll make a donation to support that. So I think the fundraising is a way to get people involved as well.
David, Neil, thanks for being on Sound Ideas.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.